It also sees the sanctuaries of Asia Minor being reinvented as Greek-style sanctuaries. This happens in the Hellenistic age. It continues into the Roman age. One of the best examples of that is the sanctuary of Labranda. Labranda was the national sanctuary of the Carians in the 4th century BC. In the generation before Alexander, Carian dynast, particularly a man named Mausolus and his brother Idrius, decided to turn Labranda into a showcase of a Greek-style sanctuary. And they rebuilt this ancient Carian sanctuary as an Ionic Greek-style sanctuary. There are some mixture of Anatolian elements, the so-called andron, these rooms for either banquets or for men to have social gatherings, are in an older Anatolian style of architecture. But on the whole, Labranda presented a beautiful image of taking the Ionic order, that more ornate Greek classical order for temples, and adapting it to this Anatolian sanctuary, which is atop a pine-clad mountain. The sanctuary is sacred to Zeus, Zeus Labrandus, the Zeus of the double axe. That's how he's depicted on the cult statue. And the sanctuary retained that Ionic architecture deep into the Roman age. And so additions were done in the traditional style. And someone coming to Labranda 500 years, 600 years later in the late Roman Empire was probably impressed the way a visitor would be impressed by a Romanesque cathedral in a time where Gothic or Baroque was the rage. And Labranda retained that quality. And we have a number of these sanctuaries in the Hellenistic and early Roman age where they opted for the Ionic style of architecture because it had a certain antiquity to it. It proved that they were really Greek. Ionic was an early form of architecture and marked them off from the newer Corinthian and Roman styles. So very modest sanctuaries, modest cities all participated. But the premier role was reserved for Pergamon, I mentioned earlier. Pergamon was essentially nothing more than a citadel at the time that Alexander passed by. It was a strong point. It dominated the Caicus Valley. There is evidence of occupation probably going back to Hittite times. And what happened is a eunuch general, a fellow by the name of Philotyrus, was put in power of the citadel with a war chest of 9,000 talents, which is an enormous sum of money. It comes out to, I once calculated how many mercenaries you could buy over a 20-year period. It would enable you to raise a substantial army of some 20, 25,000 men. Now, Philotyrus managed to declare his independence in the wars that resulted in the breakup of the Seleucid and Antigonid kingdoms, and he passed his power on to his nephews, and eventually this family was known as the Attalid kings. The King Attalus I was the first in this line to assume the title of king. Now, as a eunuch, Philotyrus was undoubtedly of servile origin. He had probably no Greek ancestry. So his family had to put out all sorts of stories why he was a eunuch, and some of them are rather comic. And the Attalids had to gain respectability, and one of the ways they did it was by patronizing arts, and that meant Greek arts. Especially King Attalus I, who came to the throne in 241, and ruled down to 197 BC, the first to take the title king. Attalus I turned a citadel into a polis, into a Greek city-state type of organization and architecture. It was still a royal residence, but the city was given the municipal institutions associated with a polis. I mentioned earlier that Pergamon played an extremely important role, because Pergamon turned out to be one of the leading powers in Asia Minor and a power that allied itself very early with the Romans. And many prominent Romans came to Pergamon on diplomatic missions, saw the monuments in Pergamon, and were quite impressed. Furthermore, the kings of Pergamon not only rebuilt their own city in Pergamon, but they also rebuilt large sections of Athens. And they showered their patronage on a number of shrines throughout the Aegean world and Western Asia Minor. In part, they were trying to show themselves as Philhellenes and even as Hellenes, since the family was probably of non-Greek origin. In part, they tried to recast themselves as the defenders of Greek cities against those nasty Galatians. And most Attalid monarchs somewhere along the line in their career had a campaign to attack the Galatians, even when the Galatians had apparently settled down and become part of the political order.